Been on a series on transformation and renewal, and I just have three little points to share on transformation and renewal. And as a conclusion to the little short series on transformation and renewal, which was based on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now let's have a look again at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, as that's the key text by which we have that. Little understanding in this series. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And we found that in verse 2 it mentions transformation and renewal. And in these two particular aspects, seeing that we are to be transformed and renewed in our heart and mind, I just to share the conclusion part in this series, and that is number 1, look at the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and in Romans 8, we look first of all at verse 29, Romans 8 verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the first thing is that, the first point is that every circumstances, hard circumstances, easy circumstances, difficult in a valley or easy times on a mountain, everything that occurs in our life, everything that occurs in our relationship with people is for one purpose and one purpose alone. That we be conformed to the image of Christ. Think about that. Every situation and every circumstances that we face, whether hard or easy, is with one purpose, and that somehow we be transformed to be like Christ. That means, point number one, that every situation is an opportunity for us to find some strength, some grace, or some principle inside us that will respond in such a manner that we will be more Christ-like through that situation. Of course, we all know it's not the easiest thing, right? When someone gets angry at you, you just want to get angry and slap them back. And when someone reacts at you, you want to react back. And it's not the easiest thing in the natural. But when we choose not to respond in a carnal way or in a natural way, but when people bark at you or when people scold you, when people misunderstand you, and when people misinterpret you or when people persecute you, you choose only one response. You choose the most Christ-like response possible. And when you make that choice to respond the way Christ respond, you ask yourself this question: what will Christ do in that situation? How would Christ respond in that situation? And then when you choose to respond the way Christ respond, you have succeeded in that situation. Success is not measured based on how popular we become in this life, not based on how much more material we have accumulated in this life, not based on how much greater a reputation we have established with man, and it is not based on any of these, but it is based on only one thing and one thing alone, that you would be able to successfully be transformed in that situation to be a little bit more Christ-like. And so that's the first point, that if we understand that the purpose of all circumstances, the purpose of all persecution, the purpose of all our being misunderstood, the purpose of every hard time is with one purpose and one purpose alone for God to allow it. That is, for us to find the grace of God to respond in the most Christ-like manner. And when you find the grace of God to respond in the most Christ-like manner, you have won. The enemy has lost. Unfortunately, if we do not respond in the most Christ-like manner, we lose. And the enemy wins. So that's the first point, to respond in such a manner that coming out of the circumstances, we become transformed. Now what happens if we do not respond correctly? 1 year down the road, 2 years down the road, different set of circumstances will take place. Similar but different. Similar in the fact that you are still the same main actor in your sin. The people around are different, circumstances are different, but you will still have the choice to respond in that situation. And God keeps repeating the cycle, round and round and round, until we respond one day correctly, and because of that, we become transformed. A little bit more transformation comes into our life. So that's the first purpose of first point, the purpose of all situations in life. Every A-double-L, not a single situation excluded, because God is able in every temptation and every trial to give you the grace to overcome in a Christ-like manner. So point one, every situation is designed with a purpose that we respond in the most Christ-like manner so that we can become transformed to the image of Christ. Point number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It tells us here in verse 3 to 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience and your obedience, and when your obedience is fulfilled." Now look at verse 4 and 5. It says that the weapons God gave to us is to pull down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're talking about transformation and renewal. In point one, we talk about every circumstances, what is to be done. And here it talks about every thought. Every single thought that we have, that we permit in our lives, has a role in our transformation or our deformation. You know how people become deformed? Now all of us are growing physically every year, but we're also growing spiritually. Have you noticed that as you grow through the years, one year at a time, that you can either become a better person or a more ugly person in the natural and in your soul? And we're not talking about outward looks alone. But you know how sometimes people's personality are beautiful? They have a beautiful personality. But yet we know that beautiful personalities can become ugly also through time. Maybe through pain, hurts, unforgiveness, bitterness. And then a beautiful person in the personality after 10 years can become an ugly person. Horrible person where you cannot go near. They become like porcupines. You go near, you get hurt. Every time you go near, you get hurt by them. And only those who can take and stand their hurt can keep on being near to them. And why does these things happen? It all starts with the thought life. It all starts in our mind. And yes, even born again Christians struggle in their thinking and in their mind. And just pause a moment and go over to the book of Acts. At a guy named Simeon, in Acts chapter 8, a guy named Simeon. And in Acts 8, we are told here that after he was born again and baptized in water, that there were a lot of people being prayed for by Peter and John to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then he asked to have the power of God to pray for people to receive the baptism in the Spirit by offering money. It was like a bribe. And Peter rebuked him because it was wrong. It was obviously wrong. And Peter says in verse 20, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. And he says, first of all, in verse 28, your heart is not right in the sight of God. And then in verse 22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Look at it. The thought of your heart. So first of all, he says in verse 21, his heart was not in the right place. And then the reason why his heart was not in the right place was because he kept thinking the wrong thoughts. And he allowed the wrong thoughts to grow in his life. As it has been said, you know, the birds can fly by above your head, but don't let them build a nest on your head. And wrong thoughts can come to anyone, anywhere, anytime. But don't meditate on them and allow them to become a part of you. That's where transformation or deformation can take place. And in regard to this area of thoughts, there are different areas and different levels that the thoughts can develop into. In fact, let's look over at the book of James and see the process by which thought become a stronghold in everyone's life. In the book of James, we see here in the book of James, and it tells us here in verse 13 to 14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, and enticed, and then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now notice the process. It starts as a thought or a temptation. It becomes a desire. And when desire has conceived, that means desire becomes an action. And then when an action is done, it becomes sin or death. Four steps. It starts as a thought. And if you think something long enough, and you meditate on those thoughts long enough, and allow it to come day by day until you're obsessed with those thoughts, it becomes a desire, a good or bad desire. At the desire level, the thoughts begin to affect your emotions. Emotionally, you become affected by it. Then, if you allow the emotion, at that point, help thing can come. As long as you don't reach step four, you haven't sinned yet, in a sense. You know, I know God is still dealing, trying to get it out of your life. By step two, where it's become a desire or emotion in your life, it's begun to grow roots, but still redeemable. But if that nothing is done about that, it will go to step three, where an action takes place. A wrong action, because of a wrong emotion, because of a wrong thought. And so at step three, when the action takes place, you begin to roll down into sin. And at step four, as the actions keep on being repeated and repeated and repeated, it becomes a stronghold and a part of your character. And so that's how wrong character and deformation takes place. Now the Bible tells us that one of the things about love, which many people say, yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love the body of Christ. Yes, I love one another with the love of the Lord. But then they don't obey 1 Corinthians 13 love. This is a love that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13,